All right, Bridgepoint, thank you for tuning in. Happy day to you. Thanks for gathering. Thanks for being a part of what God is doing in and through our church. We're in a series called Surrounded. We've gotten incredible feedback on this one, and this one's been really impactful to me. Before we get there, big shout out to all of our watch parties that are gathering. Scotty's already celebrated you guys today. He brags on you guys during the week. Thanks for showing up. Wherever you're tuning in from, whenever you're watching this, we're just glad that you're leaning in with us as a church. But here's the exciting part. It sure looks like God is beginning to illuminate a path that's going to lead us to regathering our people. We are praying so hard, so hard, that the Sunday after Labor Day is an opportunity for us to gather our people back together. There's lots of different ways to do that. We're going to be really creative with it. We want to continue to be safe with it. We want to create options that allow you to feel good about what it looks like to begin to gather again with the church. Why? The mission. It's all about a mission. This mission is about movement. This mission is about you and it's about me, but it's about people that are far from God still. And we want to help people, all people, to get closer to God. That's the mission. So stay tuned, Bridgepoint. Lots of energy beginning to stir. Lots of movement that I feel like the Spirit is positioning us for what is next. So here's what I need you to think about. What's next for you? What's next for you? Certainly gathering again. Maybe it's to continue to watch online in your own home or by your own self, on your own time. That's fine. But what does it look like to engage in the mission to gather together for you? What does it look like for us to be investing in the next generations? That's a core commitment to who we are as a church. Are you in for that? Are you ready for that? But it's not just those two things. We want to see people gathering in groups. Our watch party, shout out. You guys are doing life together. Our church is going to be known for that. But not just gathering together for us, for our sake, but gathering for the sake of our home, for Pinellas County, St. Pete, Seminole, Clearwater, downtown, and everywhere in between, and the places we haven't gone yet. We want to serve because we want to help. Are you? Are you serving? Are you helping? And are you ready to do that? All of that. Stay tuned. More information is going to be coming. I'm getting so excited about what it seems like God is positioning our church for this fall. And you're going to hear more about that as we go. Surrounded. This has been the series that we've been in. This is week 5 of this series. If you've missed any of them, can't encourage you to go back and catch up enough. But what do you do when there's flaming darts of the evil one? Paul calls it that in Ephesians chapter 6. That's kind of what we're walking through in this series. What do you do when it feels like there are flaming darts of the evil one zooming all around you? One of our bridge pointers, Rob, and his crew got a shot of this that has our church right in the focal point, right in the middle. I'm going to unpack the significance of this as we walk through this day. What do you do when there's flaming darts all around and you feel surrounded? This is almost like Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6 for believers that were going to live in the year 2020, because my goodness, if there's ever been a year that it seems like the hits just keep coming and the questions and confusions still exist and keep moving. What do you do when you're in the middle of the flaming darts all around? That's what I want to process with you today. We've had some really cool truths as a part of this series, and I want you to catch up with them. If you've missed any, again, go find them on YouTube, find them on the message page of our website. But don't miss some of these key ideas. Week 1 of this series, we started with this truth. When we're surrounded, we must remind ourselves that we don't fight people. We fight for people. That was what Paul was getting at. Our battles are spiritual in nature. People aren't the problem. People are the mission. But if we're not careful, when we get surrounded, when we reach those places that it feels like the world is crashing in, our natural reaction is to respond to what's around us or to respond to who's around us. So church, can I ask you a question? Are you fighting the right fights? Are you fighting the right battles? Are you even picking the right battles? Because if we're not careful, we're going to look like everybody else that's just adding to the chaos and confusion of this calendar year. In week 2 of this message, we put our money where our mouth was. We did a creative worship opportunity where we worship. That's what it looks like to fight battles, to be on the same page with God as we worship, and we do it through prayer. And we had worship that was led all across St. Petersburg. Powerful, powerful experience. Again, still able to view and worship along with. Week three, we talked about that Paul calls it the belt of truth, but the reality that truth was never intended to be a weapon of oppression, but instead a key to freedom. That we don't take truth so we can beat people over the head with it. We don't take truth to try to put somebody in their place. We don't fight people. Truth was intended to be the key that allows people to step into the freedom that Jesus paid that they might know. That's what truth was intended to be. And so the whole armor of God, as Paul calls it in this series, it's all fastened together by what's true. Are you, church, taking every thought captive? Every thought captive and submitting it to Jesus? Because if you don't begin with truth, we go down a path that is unhealthy for us. And last week, we had Chad on the stage, brought a humdinger of a message when it comes to the armor of God. But basically this idea, when we wear the breastplate of righteousness, we live bravely as people who have nothing to prove and nothing to lose. Do you sense the freedom of being able to put on the King's armor for ourselves to live a life that impacts, to live a life that matters, and to live a life that moves you forward? Because if you're not careful dwelling on truth of who God says you are, then your heart is exposed, your soul is exposed. But instead, when beginning with truth, you put on the breastplate of righteousness, of right standing with God. You're shielded from the chaos that exists around you. Doesn't mean it goes away. Doesn't mean life gets easy. It just means that God's fighting the battles for you. This propels us to live with nothing to prove and nothing to lose. And today, I want to see one more piece of armor that Paul described. This one's a little different than the other aspects of armor Paul walks us through. This one's almost a little bit silly. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, you can read the whole chapter later, but today the specific piece of armor that we're talking about in verse 15, Paul says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Today, we're talking about feet. All right? You probably didn't tune into this message today thinking that you're going to have a conversation about feet, but I need to talk about it with you for a second, okay? I know feet aren't often like a massively exciting topic. In fact, my wife hates feet. She just hates feet. But let me share something. This is just a little known fact about one of your pastors here at Bridgepoint. I actually, this is a bold statement. I haven't shared this before. I felt as silly in preparing it as I feel silly right now. But I submit to you that when it comes to us as a church family, I have the softest feet in our church. I have the softest feet in our church. Here's another little known fact about me is 99% of my life, with the exception of when I'm sleeping or if I'm in a body of water, I'm wearing shoes and socks, okay? Remember, I wasn't born in Florida. I'm not native here. The flip-flop life is just not my life, okay? Hate me if you must. I can appreciate that. I just live my life comfortably in socks and shoes. But because my feet are protected, those puppies are soft. You can ask my wife. She will confirm that I have soft feet. And if you doubt me, schedule a moment. I'll let you come confirm it for yourself. Now, if you talk to my wife, she's also going to point out that she feels like my toenails are scraggly, but she doesn't know everything. Don't tell her I said that. The reality is just that I have soft feet because my feet stay ready. My feet stay ready in shoes. Now, I know some of you are like, are we really going there? Are we really having this? Here's what I'd love to think about right now. How many people at the watch parties are suddenly looking around the room at the people wearing flip-flops like, oh man, this is an interesting day to be wearing flip-flops. Look at that guy's feet. Then you see some of the people at the watch parties that are suddenly their feet are tucking behind the other leg because now it's uncomfortable. Maybe today is actually a great day that we're not gathering in person because suddenly we're talking about your feet and some of you are still in your jammies and not wearing any shoe coverings at all. Feet. We're talking about feet. And then I just want to give a big shout out to the husband that's looking at his wife saying right now, honey, you caused me to turn in to listen to this guy talk about his feet. Like our first experience at Bridgepoint, that this was so important to you that I watched church with you. And this guy's babbling on about his feet. This is great. I'm sorry. But stick with me. This is gonna matter in just a moment. Because here's ultimately where I want to go. Okay? I want to ask you something. How are your feet? How are your feet? Again, I know the husband's like, honey, the guy's asking how our feet is. We can go to a podiatrist. We can go somewhere else. We don't have to sit through a church service to experience this. No. Stick with me. I promise I'm going somewhere. How are your feet? Some of you are still sitting there thinking, I wonder if his feet really are as soft as he says they are. I'm not lying. I'm serious. Anytime you let me know, I'll let you come feel how soft my feet are. They're in tennis shoes now. I'm not taking them out, okay? My feet are soft. How are your feet? And I'm not even necessarily talking about softness. I've seen some of your feet, because some of you love to wear flip-flops and you should never wear them again. I'm just honest, okay? I call it like I see it. Some of you, I am insanely jealous because even to your feet, they absorb the rays of sun and glow this golden tan color that I'll never amount to, okay? And my feet are no different, okay? But I'm not even talking about that. I'm asking about your feet. Because it's interesting to me that Paul, when he's listing off armor that's going to prepare us for spiritual warfare, right? To be ready for like all of what's going on around us, that when we feel surrounded, when we feel boxed in by the world, when we feel like the circumstances around us are caving on top of us, that Paul says, like shoes for your feet, be ready. Be ready. That's an interesting thought. Did you see the verse one more time? Now that I have you thinking about feet, let's look one more time at what Paul specifically says. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Readiness. Are you ready? Are you ready? Like, do you live your life ready? Were you ready for 2020? Are you ready in the middle of 2020? Are you ready when it comes to going back to school? Big shout out to the teachers. Been praying so hard for you guys. I know this year is wild. Are you ready to begin working in a business again? Or are you ready for a break because you never stopped working in the business? Are you ready for all that this year has thrown at you? Are you ready for the loss? Are you ready for the hurt? Are you ready for the isolation? Are you alert, focused, willing, open? Are you living your lives, Paul is saying, with this readiness, like this trying to see the world bigger than our own little perspective so we're ready? How are your feet? Are they ready? Because it's really interesting to me that in this conversation about armor, Paul says one thing we all need is to be ready. Ready with the gospel of peace. This is an interesting language. The gospel literally translated means good news. So Paul's saying, stay ready, because the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done, that readiness, that good news, it's the gospel of peace. And as Scotty hinted at earlier, would anyone make a case that our world does not need more peace than it does right now? If not, then the case that Paul's making and what I know to be true about who our God is, then it almost sounds like as believers, now is our moment. That though we be surrounded, even when we're surrounded, that's when God can do some of his absolute best work with the gospel, the good news of peace. That's an interesting thought. I wonder that maybe if I had no other ideas to share with you today, I wonder if we went through this coming week processing this thought, if it would change anything. Because here's what I'd like to submit to you today. We feel most surrounded in a year like this. We feel most surrounded, backed into a corner, confused, afraid, frustrated, unsure where to turn. We feel most surrounded when we dwell least in God's peace. We feel most surrounded when we dwell least in God's peace. There's an interesting distinction about this piece of armor, the readiness that comes from peace that I want you to be aware of. The peace that's offered to you is not something that you just need to dig a little deeper inside to find. God's not saying you need to find peace because you need to quiet your mind, that you need to still your own heart, that you need to just make your stress vanish. Because actually what Paul is getting at is peace isn't even a state of mind. Peace isn't even something we earn. Peace isn't a place that we go to. Peace isn't something you can pay for. It's not even something you actually deserve. Paul's actually going to make a case about what peace really is, as he defined earlier in Ephesians chapter 2. Now remember, his armor of God is Ephesians chapter 6. But before he got there, in the letter to this church, he wrote Ephesians chapter 2, and here's what Paul said about peace. Check this out. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's a bold statement that he's saying. This gospel of peace that's available to you, it's available even to those of us who were far off. Please don't miss that. Because somebody's tuning in today because a friend invited them to watch with him. Somebody's tuning in today because somebody shared this on Facebook or on one of your social media feeds. Somebody's watching today saying, I would love to know peace, but there's no way I'll ever be close to God. There's no way God would ever be able to love somebody like me. There's no way that God could look at my life and my circumstances and ever take me as far off as I am to know him that deeply. And here's what I need you to know. If the Bible is true, if Jesus really lived and died the death that he died, and if Paul knew that this was the access that our souls are searching for to find true peace, then peace is available for anyone who was once far off. You have now been brought near, not because you deserved it, not because you worked hard enough, not because you've earned it or you've behaved yourself, but because of the blood of Jesus, because of the work that he did on my behalf and yours. What if that's true? What if that's true, that today could be your day to know Jesus? In fact, I want to continue the very next verse, verse 14, Paul says this. For he himself, Paul is saying that Jesus, look at this, Jesus is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. There's a lot in what Paul just stated in these two verses related to peace, but above everything else, I need you to hear this. The peace that deep down inside your soul is searching for, the peace that 2020 is missing as a world, the peace that how 2020 has affected you, that you desperately need to try to settle your soul. It's not a state of mind. It's not a place you can go. There's not a magic formula. There's not a circumstances that have to line up just right and you have to get the right astrological report for your life. The peace you're searching for is a person and his name is Jesus. What if everything we need to be at peace, not because of circumstances, because this year has been wild, but what if everything we're searching for to find peace in the midst of these circumstances is tied to how close we pursue Jesus? The gospel of peace. That's a core tenet of what the good news of Jesus was intended to bring us. Far too often, we just take for granted that our life should be peaceful because we follow Jesus, but that was never the problem, or that was never the promise. Jesus specifically said, in this world, you're actually going to have trouble. It's going to be hard, but Jesus said, take heart because I've overcome that, that I'm actually going to leave you my peace to continue to live your life in this world. I want you to understand fully the power of the gospel of peace. I want you to understand fully the implications that it can have for your life and why this gospel matters. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, the fact that he and he alone, one of the tenets of what he offers you in his rescue is peace. Because Jesus and Jesus only has declared himself the only space to find peace between God and you. God and me. I hope the weight of that is at least piquing your interest. That because of Jesus' offer today, you and God can be at peace in spite of your past. And yes, even in spite of those skeletons. Even in spite of where you've been and what you've done and what you've experienced in your life, even in spite of the fact that for some of us, we've run so far away from God that we thought he would never catch up. But isn't that so like our God? That in the midst of our running, even when, as the Bible would describe us as enemies of God, Jesus makes his peace available to us. That's why, forever and always, when you engage with Bridgepoint and partner with Bridgepoint and are a part of this church and this organization and are part of this family and this group of people, that's why there will always be some common ground. The common ground is not that we are perfect people that have discovered how to polish our lives up to have all the right answers. Our common ground is found when we look towards our logo. Here's why this matters. The peace that all of us as imperfect people are searching for is because we always look back to the cross of Jesus. Because that cross of Jesus is also a bridge. And the only bridge for us to have peace with God is actually the cross. The cross was and is our bridge. And the only bridge that our hearts and souls can find peace for is found at the cross. You see, it was Jesus' blood that he shed on the cross on our behalf that is the key to peace. Because it's almost as if there's this giant gap that exists between us and God. Us in our imperfections. Us in all the ways that we don't measure up. Us in all the ways that we often get it wrong, say it wrong, think it wrong, do it wrong. All those things. The reality is so often in our lives, we're busy trying to build peace, to maintain control, to fight for us, to be really in the center of our worlds, whether we want to admit it or not. And all of that, when we step outside of God's good plans for our life, all of that is called sin. And sin, all of our imperfections, all of our brokenness, all the places where we miss the mark, as the Bible calls it, all of that separates us from a good God who's so put together and is so right and he's so holy, meaning he's just set apart and altogether different than us. But that's why Jesus matters. Because Jesus' sinless life, his death on a cross, suddenly, because his blood shed, it gives access to our lives peace. Because that cross becomes the bridge that our souls could never cross on our own. That cross becomes the access to peace that we can never fight for or earn or do right in and of ourselves. That's right. To be a part of Bridgepoint, you will always have a common ground with folks that are looking to the cross as a bridge and finding that our only bridge is the cross. The gospel of peace, it offers peace between you and God. But you know the other thing that I hope gives some of you a big, deep breath of fresh air today is that the gospel of peace, what Jesus has done for you, allows you to find peace in you. Because suddenly, life, if it's true that Jesus is our bridge, that the cross is the bridge to access to God, then suddenly your life is no longer defined by what you do. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to keep up. You don't have to put on a mask. You don't have to put on a show. You don't have to feel like you have to have all the answers. It's not about doing enough anymore because you can't do enough to find peace. Instead, you don't have to mow down that other person to advance at work. You don't have to force this relationship because it's unhealthy. You don't have to pretend that everything's okay. You don't have to pretend that you have all the answers. You don't have to pretend that your life is put together because your worth and your value is now defined by a cross and the Savior who hung on it. Your life was worth the very life of God, and nothing can assign more more value to your life than that truth. Take a deep breath today. Will you do it with me? God loved you enough to give his life for you. So that deep inside here and deep inside here, you would know peace. It's only available through Jesus. He's the only one big enough to provide it. The gospel of peace offers peace between God and you. It offers peace in you, but powerfully still is that it offers peace among us. Life is no longer a competition. No, life is no longer about being afraid. Life is no longer about the dividing lines that culture wants to put in place. Different backgrounds, different status, different culture, different paycheck, different jobs, different part of town, different race, different upbringing, different experiences, different than us. Different is no longer divisive because Jesus says, I leave you my peace. Peace enough that would die for the very person that often feels like an enemy. Peace enough to die for the very person that often feels so different than you. His peace allows us to experience people and to see them as God sees them, loved and valued, made in his image. That's why, Bridgepoint, when we're surrounded, we must be so careful to fight the right fights, fighting for people, because people are not the problem. People are the mission. Are you fighting the right fights, church? Are you fighting in the right way? Are you fighting in a way that aims for the hearts and souls of other people? Here's what Paul had to say in a different book. It's called Romans. Remember, how's your feet? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, Paul said, everyone, this is good news, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody can know the peace that we know as believers. And look how he continues. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That doesn't mean what I'm doing, it means in the way we live our lives. But look how he continues. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Do you know that God has given us a mission that sends us to our home? As it is written, check this out, Paul's words. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Hey, Bridgepoint, how are your feet? Not scraggly, not tan, not barefoot, not flip-flops, not tennis shoes. How are your feet? Are they ready with what our world so desperately needs right now? I was in my journey group, my group of guys that I meet with right now. We're mostly meeting via Zoom and have been for a couple of months. I so desperately need a group of guys where I can plug into and they can remind me back of what my mission is and remind me back of who I am and remind me back of what God's doing in my life. And Ryan, who's one of the guys in my group this week, just said something. He wasn't even talking to me, but he said something that just profoundly struck me as we begin to work our way through Romans as a group. He just said, why don't we just share with people about who Jesus is? What are we afraid of? What if 2020 is more chaotic than it needs to be because you and I, as believers, have been less ready to share than we ought to be? What if 2020 is more chaotic than it needs to be because we haven't let people know that peace is available to them through Jesus? What do you do when you're surrounded? Even as a church, what do we do as a church? What are we going to be known for as a church when the flaming darts exist all around us? What then? How do I know if I'm ready? As many of you are tuning in saying, I'm ready. I'm always ready. My feet are beautiful. I am ready. Some of you are saying, well, I want to be ready, but what does that look like? Some of you are like, I don't know. I don't know where I fall on this list, but what are the benchmarks of knowing? Well, here's a really easy one. Who have you told lately about Jesus? Because if you're not talking about the person who brings peace and the only space our souls can find it, we're not ready. if we're posting more and talking more and living our lives more and interacting more about a person that's a politician, a person that's a neighbor, a person that's a local leader, a person that's a church leader, a person that drives you crazy, or even a person that's a friend, if we're talking more about these people and not the only person where we find peace than church, our feet are not as beautiful as we'd like to think they are. And we do need to worry about scraggly toes. We do need to worry about what's going on. Let me ask you this. You say you're ready, but who have you looked for lately to be able to step into their chaos and into their brokenness and into their hurt and into their confusion and into their lack of answers to be able to share with them where to find peace? Church, who have you reminded lately that it's actually not about focusing on the size of the storm that we find ourselves in, but instead the size of our God that is not only over the storm, but with us in the middle of it? Because that's peace. Remember last week we were challenged to live with nothing to prove and nothing to lose. I'm so grateful for my group that constantly takes me back to that space. I hope that you're thinking about gathering in one, because now more than ever we need each other. We're better together. But here's what I'm afraid of for us as individuals. We've gotten a little bit comfortable that this season is just going to be chaotic. So we need to hide behind a mask. We need to hide behind a screen. We need to hide in our homes. And we've gotten comfortable doing that. But the problem is comfort breeds complacency. And when we get complacent, it breeds callousness. And the moment you and I can in our minds make great justifications about why we feel callous towards another human being, we don't have to fight for them, because we just fight them, because in our callousness, they're the problem. But we've got to fight comfort, because our world needs to know who we know. But can I challenge you with something? There's a bridge available for you today. It's a bridge to let go of control, to let go of the wrong fights and the wrong battles in the wrong ways, and to grab a hold of not a mindset or a religion, but a relationship with a person whose name is Jesus. But you will not experience the peace he offers so long as you're trying to hold on to everything else. And the Bible actually calls this repentance, saying, I'm letting go of my sin. I'm letting go of my brokenness. I'm letting go of trying to control my life, because I want to grab a hold of all that Jesus has for me. Can I ask you something, church? Who needs the peace you've found? They're not going to find it in our government. They're not going to find it in a vaccine. They're not going to find it behind a mask. They're not going to find it from comfort. They're going to find it when they get introduced to the person whose good news is peace. And then they find peace with God. They find peace within. And they find peace among us. How are your feet? Are they ready? We pray with me. Jesus, in this very moment, earlier today, our song set was that we sang, we want to make room for you to do whatever you want to. We want to make room in our hearts. We need to make room in our schedules. We need to make room in our families, make room in our friend groups. We need to make room at our jobs and our places of employment. We need to make room in our classrooms. But God, even before we get to that space, we need to make room in our hearts. Jesus, would you do whatever you want to? Would you be the peace that we're so desperately searching for? Would you forgive us where we try to find it in all sorts of different people, places, and things, when God, the offer for you has always been that you would be our peace? So Jesus, would you help us to get closer to you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.